So if you're a broadcaster in this area, I have a question specifically for you. Can I turn to your radio station or TV station in an emergency? Are you a source I can go to? We'll talk about that, the problems in just milling around, and how to actually create a plan for an emergency. We'll have that and a whole lot more on the inside. Hi everybody, I'm Bill Bateman, part of the team here at Refuse to be a Victim Personal Protection Training. I'm just part of the team along with Phil and CJ, and we're located in the Medford, White City area of Southern Oregon. Hope to have you drop by either for a class or to do some recreational shooting at the range. Okay, interesting article in the local paper, the Rogue Valley Times. There were talking about a number of trainings and studies getting ready for the next big disaster. And it's good to see that happening. Congratulations, peeps, everybody who's involved in that. That is a good thing. One thing they brought up was a big problem, because people, when they get a notification, and I saw this personally in the Town on Fire, when people would get a notification, they start milling around. They're not quite sure they want to commit to getting out of the area. A lot of this is trust. Who do you trust for your information? And this is because of our current political situation. The possibility of people misusing or abusing this is, in fact, not to be discounted. And this led me to a question I get all the time. Now, as you know, I do trainings. I've been doing this podcast heading towards 7 years. Question I get in every class I teach. I'm going to have one, in fact, this Wednesday, the 28th, at the Ashland Senior Center. I promise you that they will, in fact, ask this question: who do I turn to for information in an emergency? So this is an open question to any member of the broadcast community who happens to hear this. Can I come to your radio station or your TV station in an emergency, like the Talent Aubuchon fire? What am I going to get when I come to your station? And my email address is on the front, bill@wits-and.com. Give me an email or feel free to reach out and we'll set up a Zoom, because I'd like to get some information. I was raised in the 60s and 70s, I used to do those mobile reports. We used to have traffic reports. I was one of those guys. Hi, I'm at the Interstate 5, where we got a big rig that's jackknife, that type of thing. And we have done many fire reports in my history, my past. I have done, I guess to say that correctly. And I don't see that a lot happening now. There is not the news station for the Rogue Valley. Or if they are, they're strongly aligned to one political view or another, which discounts 50% of your audience. We had in my past some broadcasters who gave misinformation. They lost their license and they were run out of town. Here, they'd probably get their own talk show. So it's a complex question, but the question right now, if I see smoke, if I hear conflicting information, where do I turn? I know we've got things like the Jackson County Alert System. I know we've got emergency alert systems in a number of radio stations. You hear them come on, they make that multiple tone. But there seems to be confusion among the listeners. People out there in the community do not know who to reach out to. So I'm asking you, if you're a member of the broadcast community, drop me an email. Let's schedule a Zoom. I'd like to put this up on my website and share it in my next Ollie class. I'm going to be teaching another Ollie class coming up this fall, Southern Oregon University. Happy to be invited back, happy to be doing the class, and we're going to be doing it in a hybrid format. That means I'm not only going to be on a Zoom platform, but you can come to the auditorium and hear my bad jokes in person, I am pleased to announce that I'm almost down to 220, so we've got that under control. I want to look my very best for my peeps, so that's important. And yeah, this idea of milling around, I have seen that in the talent fire. It's really upsetting to a first responder to come to a site and say, hey, you folks got to go because blah, 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 and they give you the information. Come back 2 hours later, and they're still standing there. Maybe they're putting some stuff in the car, but they're looking because nobody wants to leave because it's not pleasant when you do. I know that. I've been through it. But being burned up is even worse. Or looking at the next big earthquake, there was a lot of things in this article about what's going to happen. Bridges are, if it's the big one, and you put that in the air quotes, if bridges are coming down and roads are going to buckle, getting from point A to point B is going to become very, very difficult, and it should change the way you prepare. What are you preparing for? Are you preparing to evacuate in the case of a next wildfire? Are you preparing to be sheltering in place because the roads are all torn up in the case of an earthquake? We've been through the pandemic business. That doesn't mean it's never coming back, but the problems of getting from point A to point B and then functioning with a face mask or walking one way down the grocery aisle. I saw people almost go hand to hand over that business they put in place at grocery stores. So I'm a little concerned about the way we as a group are going to react when we have serious problems of shortages and transportation. This idea of being your own first responder, when you look at, you know, the roads are totally impassable, not because they're jammed with traffic, but because they look like Legos, that is an issue. And that brings us to the bigger question: what are we planning for, and how can we best plan for different eventualities? If you get a whole lot of food at home, well, that's good until it starts going out of date. You can't carry a lot of stuff with you. Do you have a plan A and a plan B? We've talked about that. What goes into creating a plan? Let's look at just some brief plan tips or plan guidelines. Day one, or when the incident happens, whatever that incident is, what are the steps you need to take on your first day of an incident? Well, first, you need to make sure you and those you can assist, your immediate family, your wife, your children, mom, dad, the dog, are safe. That could mean sheltering in place. That could mean getting out and getting away. We here in the Rogue Valley are at a strong disadvantage. We got a road in and a road out, and we're at the bottom of a bowl surrounded by mountains. There is not a lot of places to go, and we saw that in Talent and Aubuchon fires, and that it took me an hour and 15 minutes to go from my home to the Union Gas Station, which is like 3/4 of a mile away. Everybody on the freeway got off. Total gridlock. It was horrifying. So getting an area that you're familiar with, because I can't say what to do in your area. In my area, my wife and I have scouted. We take Sunday drives. Which way are we going to go? What do we think's going to happen here? In the event we have another fire, how are we going to get out? Where are we going to go if we can't get out? That's the first 24 hours. Getting to safety. Getting to safety correctly by having at least half a tank of gas, by having supplies that you can quickly pick up and walk to the car with, or if you can't get to the car, supplies you can sling over your shoulder. You, your wife, your children, each of us can carry a backpack. Even the dog can carry its own backpack, but only if you plan this stuff in advance. Okay, day two. The next 24 hours is technically the hardest part of the plan because you're dealing with psychological problems, the shock of whatever has happened, let's say a fire. I remember my wife and I sitting at the edge of the bed, kind of looking at each other when in our new location before they evacuated us a second time, going, okay, now what? Did we have everything we needed, not only for the next 24, 48, 96 hours, had we done our homework correctly so that if, in fact, we had to rebuild, if we came home and there was nothing there, did we have the insurance information? Did we have the contact numbers? Was our system of reaching out to our relatives so they'd know we were okay? Was it working? Fortunately, yes. My sister is used to looking for text messages from me because the phones did jam up, but the text still worked. So looking at day two, that's the hardest psychologically. If you're still moving because situations are still unsettled, it's even more difficult because now the adrenaline is starting to burn off and you're going to get fatigue. So as you're planning, look at day two as a barrier or a hump you need to get over. Be prepared to continue to move, shift, and plan. Reevaluate as you're going. And work on gathering information. The next day, the next 24 hours, and day two, getting information that you can trust, which is what spurred my question at the beginning. Who do I turn to in an emergency? Getting information that I can depend on is critical at this point. If it's going to turn left or turn right, it's a crapshoot. Is it safe to go down this road? Can I, in fact, in good faith, head up this canyon? Or am I going to get blocked in by rolling boulders or falling trees or a fire? Those are the type of things you have to constantly be gathering information. Texting people you can trust is important. People have asked me, this comes up in my classes a lot, about satellite phones. Because the cell towers are going to jam or they could be knocked down. So in a really big emergency, sat radios can work. They work off a satellite. You've seen them in the movies. They have like this big circular thing that sticks up like an antenna. The newer ones look like big, thick iPhones. They are expensive. This is not something I can frankly afford. They're about $800 to $1,400. And then there's a monthly cost for the plans. And that monthly cost is not cheap. It's about $100 to $200 a month. So sat phones are one way to do it. Another way to do it is with ham radios. Ham radios, back when I was growing up, were, you know, we had a lot of ham operators and it was fun to talk to, and it kind of fell out. Well, it is in fact coming back again. There are new individual ham radios that are, I want to say, approximately $100. I will also say I sent mine back because the myriad of regulations and hoops you have to jump through to legally use a ham radio. And this is not like a walkie-talkie you get at the hardware store and you can talk to your friends when you're hunting. This is a actual real communication device. So ham radios are very, very valuable, very, very useful. It requires some technical knowledge and some training and some licensing. So gathering information and sharing information, you have two really good options. Well, three. You can put together a text network based on people you trust. You can put together a sat phone relay if you've got that kind of money. You also have the opportunity to become a ham operator and share information. Again, this is far less expensive, but it's a far more invested as far as your time and your training needs to go. As we get into days 3, 5, and 6, this is where you have to kind of, if it is safe to do so, stop and organize and evaluate. This means, okay, we've escaped the fire, we've found out that it's stopped moving, it's contained, it's still moving, keep heading up the road. And this means you and hopefully your partner. You should be on a team. I see this lone wolf thing in all of the movies. I don't buy it. I'm very glad my wife and I were together. We had a plan that if there was a problem, this is where we'd meet. And if we couldn't get to location A, there was a location B. And if she was stuck on a spot, I knew how to get to her and she knew how to get to me. And a lot of thought and a lot of planning. The big thing, and what leads to a lot of this milling I talked about, people kind of walking around like, what do they call them, minions. Walking around, bumping into each other like little electronic toys. They don't know what to do. If you have something to do, if a sheriff comes to our door, knock, 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 hey, there's an emergency, you got to get out, my wife and I aren't going to argue with him. We're going to say, thank you, you need a soft drink, and we're gone. We're in the car, which is the best way to go, get as much information as we can, activate our emergency network. And I've had some people say, you know, Bill, this sounds just a little bit strange. No, it doesn't. It only sounds strange if you've not been through an emergency. Quite honestly, I hope you never have to go through an emergency, but if you do, it is far better to be prepared and to have sat down and had the discussion, to know what tools you've got where, than not. You don't want to be in a situation where you are in fact standing around wondering what to do. Should I do this? Have that plan. You're going to save yourself not only a lot of worry, you could actually save your own life. Be able to evaluate your present situation. And if you're going to do something to help yourself, like training, begin that today if you can. And if today's not a good thing, tomorrow. Whether you're going to become a ham operator or you're going to become a part of a network, it could be part of your community, it could become your part of where you live, your mobile home or your rental community, it could become a part of your church or your social group, it could become just a group of friends who get together and decide, hey, if this happens, then this is what we're going to do. Don't be wondering about what to do. And again, I'm a shout out to all the radio and TV stations in the neighborhood who are hearing my voice. Can I turn to you? Who do I turn to in an emergency for accurate, unbiased emergency information? Reach out to me. The email address is there. I'll meet with you on a Zoom. I want to put something together for this area. And if you're outside the Medford White City area, because as I found out last week, we go to the Czech Republic, we go to Germany, we go to, there's a place up, a big group up in Michigan. Hey there, Michigan. Nice to see you. Your community is maybe in a different geographical location, but by golly, you got the same type of problems we do as far as fires, floods, issues like that. Take it beyond, I got some extra cheese. I got some granola bars and I got some bottles of water. That's nice. You're going to need a lot more. Reach out. That family down the block, they seem to be nice. You see them at church, you see them at your social clubs. Maybe you folks can start talking about prepping. It's a good plan. I urge you to download this and share it. I urge you to follow us. We need as many followers as we can so we can start attracting a bigger audience. So share this at work. Share this with your friends. Follow us. Download it, if you will. All right. I got a shout out to this week. Well, last week we went international. This week we're going to stay local. Shout out to the Farm Stand. That's on Highway 99, just before you come into Phoenix. It's just that. It's a small store selling fruits and vegetables. Right now they got some fresh corn. Fresh corn. That's kind of exciting. They were the place I was getting the chicken noodle soup that helped me survive the pandemic. I'm crediting their soup with helping me get through my COVID bout, because chicken noodle soup is in fact a form of penicillin. So shout out to our friends at the Farm Stand. Tell them Big Bill says hi. And classes, yes, we've got them. They are happening. And They're the second Saturday of each month. They're open for both July and for August. I think that's the 10th and 12th, respectively. Check your calendar. Don't take my word for it. If I look at the calendar, I'll end up cutting this thing off. I'm in that kind of technical position. In addition to the concealed carry class, we have the concealed carry mastery. For after you get your concealed carry permit, now what? And that's really, really worthwhile. So, classes happening, good information happening, the world continues to revolve, and we hope we're going to see you again next week. Until then, be safe. The preceding program was a presentation of Retired Guy Productions.